And let's get started.
So, hi everybody. It's hard to believe the course has gone less than a month so far. We've had two meetings, group meetings. This is the third. We've had two or three individual meetings. Hey, everyone's here. Hi, Tills. But doesn't it feel like you've been in the course for about 6 months already?
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, when you fill your time with a lot of work, it seems you're really involved with it. So one thing I want to share, and Sharon, you don't have to, but Sharon had, you might say, a tragedy in her family. And I know she's hurting a lot because of that. And Sharon, would you like to just briefly share what happened?
The horse that I've had for 30 years passed on Friday. So I was up with him. Vets are really hard to get a hold of at 2 in the morning on a Friday night. So we were trying to deal with it ourselves, and we didn't know whether he was, he just fell down in the field. And when horses are down, they can't be down for too long or it's not good for them. So we weren't sure whether he was down. He was up and he had a really good day that day. It wasn't expected, but it just turned out it was his time.
Yeah.
So, and it really just kind of throws things for a bit.
Yeah. You've owned that horse for 30 years, huh?
For 30 years. It's my longest relationship with a male.
Yeah. Now, that's a big thing.
So,
I mean, I've had cats that have lasted 17 years, but a horse for 30 years that you used in your training and you saw every day. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, condolences.
Thanks, Robert.
Okay. So what we were working on last time is your marketing conversations, reach out and touch someone, and make some connections. And I want to talk about that for about 45 minutes of the call today, and then we'll move on to the next assignment. This is not a one-shot and you've got it thing. Having great conversations that take you somewhere is a skill that takes, you know, a long time to really get good at. But like anything, the basics are not hard. Has anyone heard the saying, golf is easy? You know, you can learn the basics in one day. You can learn how to ride a horse in a day or two. You can do a lot of things in a day, but it takes a lifetime to master. And there's some areas of following up and making connection that I feel resistant to or fearful of or just don't want to. Or so, you know, it's an area where a lot of resistance and, you know, that's resistance is based on some kind of a fear. You know, they will think X is usually sort of the formula. They won't be interested. They won't say the right thing. What if they don't get back to me? Will I be ridiculed? All these kind of things. But I've heard from most people that they've made some connections and had some meetings, and some of them went pretty well, and some turned into potential proposals or other leads. So I'd just like you to share, you know, what you learned, what worked, what didn't work. And if, you know, and don't have a big judgment on yourself that, well, I was going for 5, but I only made 4, or whatever happened. Don't feel ashamed of it. Just share it. And then from that, we can give you some coaching and support to keep going, because this is going to be an ongoing thing. In fact, next 2 weeks, I'm going to have you connect another 5 people. Oh my God. I thought I was over with that. No. We're not over with that. It's something, it's an important thing. Now, it might not be you'll have to be in contact with 5 people every couple of weeks. You might be more, might be less, might be not a lot, depending on how you're marketing, the direction or trajectory of your marketing goes. So who would like to share first?
I will. So
So I just want to say that I have not had any marketing conversations verbally. I've sent out several letters in which I have basically used the beginning of the marketing conversations. And I think what I really want to say is that this whole assignment, particularly with part one in the assignment, has just catapulted my level of confidence. So that when it comes time for me to have these conversations, which I'm going to be having two of them, I think next week, I just feel completely confident.
Wow, that's great. And it's just the fact of you reaching out instead of holding back or thinking about it as opposed to just doing it, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Confidence.
So I thank you for that.
Okay, great. We've been going back and forth a lot with letters and fine-tuning letters and stuff. You know, please use me that way. I mean, Sarah Jane is using me more than the average person, and you're welcome to do that. It's like, here's what I'm going to say. Here's the letter. What do you think? And it doesn't take me long to look at it and make a few suggestions. So we stay too much in our heads about this and judge ourselves and reevaluate and overthink it and second-guess ourselves.
So can I just ask a question here?
Yeah.
So I think for me, and I'm assuming for a lot of other people as well, particularly when I'm in a networking meeting, a big networking meeting, or just a one-on-one networking meeting, I didn't find any materials in all of your materials that I've scanned so far about how to go about asking for referrals.
We have stuff about referrals in other parts of the club, but not in the in the fast track program that I can recall. And I can point you to that. I can post it online. There's a section in the InfoGuru manual, and there is a, but I can't remember who it is. I'm pretty sure there is expert interview on referrals.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there is. Okay.
All right. Okay.
And there are endless articles. You know, Google can help you with that. I mean, there's so many good things about referrals out there.
Google is not Middleton.
Well, I know, but I've read some articles that have impressed me, let me tell you, so. Thanks.
It would be helpful to know what those were, Robert. I've just done a few of them and some guru types on and, you know, done for you referral templates, and they're horrible. They're absolutely horrid. I mean, if I was to, you know, I'd like to share my passion and it's all these words that are just over the top, and the way that they're asking for, I would be shocked, and yet these are supposed to be leaders in the field. I love the way your stuff reads like real people and not garbage gibberish.
Yeah. Well, you'll find some good stuff and not gibberish up there. But I had this conversation yesterday with Oliver. He's not on the call right now. But we talked about referrals because that's going to be a big part of his business. He worked in similar kind of business that he's doing now, only one-to-one. He traveled all over the place. He did a lot of conferences. Now that he's in semi-retirement, he's going to be doing it by Zoom video and working with people, and he's contacting past people. And I said, and he's a good sales guy, so he has a natural way about it. And the basic thing is, you know, who else do you know that should know about me, given how I've helped you? You know, often it's a good time to ask is when people have said, boy, this has really been good. So, you know, you've really helped me. This is really useful. So often what people say is this. This is sort of the standard thing everybody says. Well, if you hear anybody that could use similar help, have them call me. And that's non-manipulative and stuff, but it's not very effective, because the problem with referrals is people talk to people all the time and say to call me, and they do it for you, but they don't call me. Why don't they call me? I don't take it personally. They don't know me. The other person raved about me and said, you ought to check out Middleton. He's great. Give him a call. No, they might go to the website. So why don't they? Why do you think people don't call even with that suggestion? Turn it around to you. Why don't you call when someone tells you to call somebody? No idea?
Well, I think you kind of said it. You don't. The other person doesn't know you. They don't know me. So we haven't had a marketing conversation yet. So why would they call? They're too busy.
Yeah, they're too busy, and they're also a little afraid, because if I make the first move, then I'm saying I want to hire you in their minds. I'm not sure I want that yet, so, you know, I'll read his stuff and blah, blah, blah. And so they just don't make that step. It's scary to do that. Now, people will call if the need and pain and whatever, you know, sometimes they will call. So what you need to do is educate your clients a little bit about. So you might say, do you know anyone who should know about me, who would like to get my materials, or someone I should chat with that maybe would be a good client for me? It's just something simple like that. And they might say, yeah, I think I know some people. So then you give them basic education on how to refer. So if you do know somebody, can you do this? First of all, when you mention me to someone, most people won't call, just because they don't. They're kind of afraid. They don't want to be sold. So if you know somebody you think would be a great client, can you call me and let me know? And then we can figure a way to best reach out to that person. You know, there's a lot of ways. Maybe he can send an email and then I can follow up. Or maybe we can, you know, it's bigger business type thing. We could all get together for lunch and talk. I mean, that won't work in a lot of situations. Or we can do a three-way call. But often people do this, hey, you two ought to meet. John call Robert, Robert call John. I don't think that's very good. It you know, if you're going to refer someone, you should have care enough about this person that made a big difference in your life to be a bit more involved. So ask them to be a bit more involved. So will you call me and let me know, or send me an email and let me know, and then we'll figure out a way to connect. And that can sometimes work. So there have been whole books on this, books that I've read that I couldn't get through because they're so weird. So, but it's asking and not once. And the other thing is to drill deeper. It's like, yeah, I know some people. So tell me, would it be okay with you if you told me a few of those people that we could possibly contact, or I could contact? And some will say, well, I can't think of anybody on the top of my head, and maybe that's true. And some people might say, yeah, I know somebody. Most of this is in the InfoGuru manual, what I'm saying. One more little thing. Just blanked out on it. So go into the InfoGuru manual, look up referrals, and read that. It's good. It's useful information. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
So let's keep going and sharing about, we have just half an hour, so let's get everybody in. Who would like to go next? Nancy, you're mute. You're muted. Okay, there you go.
Okay, so I had a meeting with a client who already was interested. So, in fact, I worked with her a long time ago. And so I guess that's second base. I think?
No.
And, no? Oh, it's in between, going to second, like on the way to second base.
Well, she's someone you've already worked with?
I'm not sure if she has ever hired me before.
But she knows you.
She knows me.
He knows you. Yeah, so you've already been on first base. First base, they know you, and yeah. You're somewhere in between first base and second base, yeah. Which is more selling conversation.
Yeah. Because I'm in market research, what I do for a living is ask people, well, what do you need and how would that benefit you? So that path between first and second base mostly comes pretty naturally to me. But the proposal part and going to third base, so that's where I am. I wrote a proposal. I'm waiting to hear. And, it, you know, I honestly, what's interesting is I wasn't even present to this course while this was happening, and I wish I had been. You know, it's just
actually use the course. What a concept!
Right. And I feel like I've missed a couple of pieces just because my situation's a little bit different. I don't know. So I'll talk to you about that when we have our conversation. But yeah. I'm not sure what to do now. Like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Well, the steps are: make sure you have a real selling conversation. Some people said I had a selling conversation. I said, how long was it? And they say 10 minutes. That is not a selling conversation. You haven't found out enough. Now, I'm not saying every selling conversation should last an hour, but it should. You should find out what are they looking for,
yep.
What's worked in the past, is this project real right now, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. What questions do you have from me, about me?
Yeah.
And then from that point, you'd say, well, this is basically what we do. You can tell them basically what we do. It's similar than other things. We'd go in and do this, but I can give you a basic proposal. Mm-hmm. But listen, everybody listen to this. Give them a proposal without a price tag on it. Mm. So I've said it to everybody. Has everyone heard? Nod your head. Now, some people, Carol doesn't do proposals. Udo's not going to do proposals. I think most of the rest of you might do proposals.
I don't do proposals.
You don't do proposals?
No.
Well, some people will ask.
Well, I don't.
Some people will ask. And see, your proposal, for some of you, is almost your HEOB letter. It's sort of that tells everything. And you might write up something that's a boilerplate thing and then say, this is what we'll do. But it's not a, doesn't have to be real customized for you, Sarah Jane, because you're doing coaching one-on-one, similar every time. But some, like Sharon and, Leanne, probably not. She's got a package, HEOB, for her various things. So, but anyway, but for Nancy, for Sarah Taylor, for Sharon, for sure, I say, let me send you a preliminary proposal. And in that proposal, you have all the material of the proposal. That's in the InfoGuru manual, but it's also in under Selling Conversations in the Fast Track program. So go to Selling Conversations, tab 9 gives you all the deal about proposals. But if you give them without a proposal, here's the thing. They have to talk to you again to decide, because this is what people do with proposals. Flip, price. They always look at the price first. So you take that away so they have to read the damn proposal. And you say, this is without a price because I want to make sure that it covers everything we talked about, your objectives, what you want to get out of it, a bit about the process, and make sure we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. So then you follow up in a couple of days and say, after you've given the proposal, are we on the same page? Does this sound good to you? And they say, yes, except for the price. Well, let's just chat about it and go over the few things, and then we can talk price. Mm-hmm. So this has been very effective for a lot of people. A lot of people use this as a standard thing. So, not everybody, but it's been effective.
So, Robert, in the way that I work, I generally have that selling conversation, and what they're looking from me is design ideas right then on the spot. And that's part of what I can offer.
That's fine. Right.
So in a way, that first step of proposal without a cost happens all in that 1 hour meeting I have with them.
Okay.
And then they say, okay, I need to know what it's going to cost. So I went and did some, I gave her actually a few different possibilities, but I finally asked her budget because my possibilities were all kind of expensive. And then the proposal, I came in right at her budget because I had to take a discount for it to work, but it's a big project, so it'd be worth a discount.
Okay, good.
Well, that's what I did, but
that sounds good. But even then, you could have given her the next day. Here's the overview. Here's design ideas. Let's make sure we're on track.
Yeah, I did that.
Oh, there's one other objective we forgot. So you did that?
I did it by phone though, rather than having it in writing, and then checked it out and made sure. And then she focused in on one of them. Actually, I gave her something in writing. No, I don't know, but it's sort of fluid, but in the end, I gave her the one that she was choosing and gave her a cost. And I'm using Zoom. Thank you for the idea. so I can save them money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's something people are afraid of. I sent them a proposal. I don't want to do anything that would upset the apple cart.
Right.
Let me tell you, following up on the proposal will not lose you the job, mm-hmm. unless you're obnoxious, unless you call five times a day, unless you do things that are totally inappropriate. So she got the proposal when?
Monday morning. No. What's today? She got
Thursday.
She got the proposal yesterday morning. I was really ill yesterday, but I pulled something together and got it to her.
Okay. So here's something to remember. When you send a proposal, a day to you feels like a week. To them seems like a day. So you're going, how come she hasn't gotten back to me? Well, relax. It was just yesterday.
Because I go right to, well, maybe I'm bugged her. Maybe she doesn't like me anymore. So stupid. A waste of energy. So,
tomorrow I'd send her an email just checking in any questions about the proposal and, okay. and scheduling.
Okay.
You know.
What I can add to the
proposal. Sounds good.
I want to add something to the proposal. If you're doing this for big companies, you have to be careful because they are getting a lot of proposals for a project that they are offering. And what they are doing is they check the proposal for ideas, how the project will be set up. So they have big companies, big consulting, and they get a lot of proposals from them. And then put them together to a decision matrix. And this takes sometimes, I would say, 4 or 6 weeks
right.
until they get you an email or something and tell you if you are invited to a meeting. So, yeah.
So
be careful what you put in there.
Companies sometimes is called a request for proposal, which, mm-hmm. and they won't let you talk to anybody. And they give you, yeah. you know, I don't like that. I mean, some people have learned how to do that, but it's very.
Yeah, it did.
Kind of nerve wracking. Yeah. It's anyway. Okay. Let's move on. Nancy. Good points. Good stuff. Okay. Who's next? Carol, unmute yourself.
Hey.
Okay.
So for me, for most of my, day-to-day business, the one-on-one therapy, I think it's going to be more important to focus on the referral sources rather than the individual clients. Would you agree? So other therapists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doctors, because then it's ongoing, and when they come across their clients, who could benefit from my services, it generates a stream, which, for my actual clients to ask for referrals, that's a very kind of weird place to be because people don't want to talk about their private therapy with their, it's a different kind of thing. So
I know still some people will refer.
And they do. I get referrals.
People say I work with someone that just is great, and you could still say it in a low key kind of way. If you say, they say at some point, man, this has just helped me. It's made a huge difference in my life, and you say thank you so much. And I just want to let you know, sometimes you bump into people that maybe could use similar help, and if you do. I'd love you to talk about me. But if you do, feel free to send me an email about this person and we'll find a way to connect with them. It has to be low-key. It can't be hardcore. Really low-key.
Well, that actually happened today. I had just this awesome compliment from this client. But I did ask him for a testimonial, and he's happy to provide one. Like, he said he'd be honored to provide one. So, and then he did a great thing, which you're going to love, Robert. He said, it would be great if you could give me questions to prompt me so I know exactly, I know you want the testimonials to serve a purpose and to generate business. And he's a businessman, so you can tell where he's going. He's like, I want them to be effective. So no more than three. He said, give me three questions and I will answer them. And you can use that in your testimonial. I said, perfect. So I'm thinking, okay, Robert, help me with the questions. So I get what I need. But that's going to be a great testimonial. He said the most amazing. As he said it, I'm thinking, ooh, testimonial. Like, I saw it in my head. So.
By the way, a good testimonial is a Cinderella story. So are case studies. When I came to Carol, I was really struggling with these things that really were impacting my life. And we worked. Her approach was so easy and powerful and gave me insights. And I love coming to work with her. And now that I've completed with her, it's just the things that were bothering me before are, I can't even think of them anymore. I can hardly remember what they were. I have more confidence and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, this is before, during, and after. That's a great testimonial.
Well, you'll help me later, right? With the questions to send to him.
Well, tell him, just tell him that. Tell me what it was like before you came. Tell me what it was like working with me. And tell me what it was like since you completed working with me.
I got to write that down.
Before, during, after. It's really simple.
Okay. I mean, I could basically say what he said to me and make, that's really the testimonial, but.
Look, if you get some material and you edit it and send it back to him, he'll say, thank you. I couldn't have done a better job. Don't, you know, as long as you get permission. If you put in something, you know, Carol is the therapist goddess of planet Earth, and you put that in without his permission, no.
Well, he pretty much said that. So, no, just kidding. But close. So anyway, I had a meeting for the marketing conversation with another therapist who I, you know, she's kind of new to me, but I really, you know, like her. I just felt like we would connect. She started coming to my, we have a peer group, a supervision peer group. And I've you know, come across her a couple of times, but don't know her real well.
Okay.
So she asked me for help with something. So I, you know, said, sure, we finally got that set up. But I kind of looked at it like this is a good opportunity to get to know her, for her to get to know me from general marketing perspective.
Yep.
So I helped her with the thing. But I kind of approached it like, you know, thinking about asking questions like your, you know, information says to find out more about her and not really talk too much about me, but just to really learn about her and become interested in what she does and what clients she really likes to work with or who she doesn't want to work with, you know, that sort of thing. So
did she turn it around and ask much about you?
She did. She said, well, you know, I'm really interested in hypnosis. I've been really curious about it. So I just said a real little bit. I said, yeah, it's so effective, but it's real fascinating. But basically left it alone and went back to her. And then it ended with, yeah, we should get together and I could tell you more about hypnosis. You know, so it's kind of a bridge to another meeting. And then I followed up with the email telling her how much I enjoyed our meeting. And it was you know, really great and whatever I said. And then she email back saying, yeah, it was fun. You know, we should do it again. You know, pick out a date. And I did. I picked out a date. I said, so anyway, we're forming the next meeting. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, she might realize that for certain therapy things, hypnosis might be a better choice for certain things. And she might refer people to you.
Right.
It's possible. You never know.
She's actually already referred someone to me, which before this meeting, so I know we already had that connection, but I figure it's all the better just to make it stronger. And her husband's a neurologist and he's already referred me someone. I've never even met him. So I just figure it's good to keep going. And I think that's the problem sometimes. We make a connection and we stop, you know, so I just want to continue.
And again, you can't meet with this person every 2 weeks for the rest of your life. So you've got to.
Well, no, but the good news is I will, if we both are in attendance, I will be seeing her, you know, monthly, every other month anyway to naturally continue, but
networking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Good. Things happen when you meet with people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going here. How about Sarah Taylor?
Hi. So, Robert, I think you and I talked a little bit about the fact that I had I went to a networking event, maybe the night or day after we'd had the conversation, and it just happened that they lined up. So it was a really great event. I had met the week earlier with one of the a huge HR owner. She owns her own business, and she's a great Cinderella story because she started her business from the ground up and is hugely successful here in Calgary. So I had the opportunity to have a one-on-one meeting with her, and we just went out for coffee. And it was a really good meeting. I think now, in retrospect, and after some of the stuff that I've learned, I feel like I maybe wasn't as prepared as I could have been for that meeting. So I did ask her a few questions about, I look at her as possibly a referral source in the future. And I did ask her a lot of questions about how she started her business and sort of how she managed to build her business, those sorts of things. But I feel like in retrospect, it would have been a better meeting. At any rate, I went to her networking event. It was great. Made some great connections there. The other thing that I've done is something that Carol mentioned as well. Is so
one second. Is that an ongoing networking thing that you can go to?
Yes. Once every 2 months, she has a huge networking event, and it's an HR networking event. So it's a great opportunity for me to meet people and talk to people and connect with people. So
fantastic. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. The other thing that I've done is something that Carol mentioned, where I've looked at a lot of agencies and companies as possible referral sources. So there's a advocacy group. It's an autism self-advocacy group, and they meet twice a month. So I went down to their offices and left some of my marketing materials, some flyers and brochures and stuff. And so there are a lot of people there who are adults on the autism spectrum who are working, and they meet as a sort of a networking group where they can talk. It's self-advocacy. They can talk and about problems. So I actually managed to book a speaking gig at one of their meetings. So I'm going to speak there, and hopefully I can tell them that if they are having problems at work, then I'm their man. So. Yeah.
I'm their man.
Yeah.
Very good. You know, networking leads to networking. A connection leads to another connection. You meet with someone and nothing goes that place, but they meet with someone else, and that it ends up being the best connection you ever had. I mean, you know, for instance, when I was doing a lot of networking in Calgary, I met this guy. I've mentioned the whole audio logo with Joe Meisner, so I won't get into that again. But I ended up renting offices from him in downtown San Francisco when I was making the transition from home to office. And he gave me some subcontracting work. And ultimately, now that I was in downtown San Francisco and comfortable with being downtown, I found my own office downtown where I was for 7 years. So you never know. And he was always a great advocate of what I did and support. And he became kind of a mentor to me in some areas. So you're looking for all of that kind of stuff. And it sounds like you're totally open for that right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also, one of the people that I reached out to after our last conference call is a woman who runs an agency called Talent Pool, which is an HR networking agency. They run lots of HR workshops and stuff that go on. So her and I have set up a meeting for the beginning of March. We're meeting March 2nd, I think. We're having a coffee and doing a little chat. So hopefully before then, you and I can connect on. I feel like a lot of those meetings, I go into them not knowing exactly what I want to get out of them. So I.
Okay.
That's something I think you and I should talk a little bit about.
Yeah. You know, I think open-ended is fine, but the agenda is, is there an action we can move towards? Is this someone that would feel comfortable referring me or just knowing me, or maybe I can get more information from them? Maybe I can get connections to other people, that kind of thing. So there could be a lot of outcomes, and you need to be open to any of those. But you need to be asking for that. It's sort of, you know, there's got to be an ask at the end. Who else could you connect me with? Do you know of any good company that would be good to approach where you know the HR person that might be interested in what I'm offering? And they might have somebody right off the bat.
For sure. For sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's funny that I have this on the grid pattern and people are moving around. Why are you doing that? I don't know. Nancy moved from the bottom left to over here. Now I can't see Sharon anymore, but I can see Leanne. So Leanne, you're next.
Okay. So, I mean, I've met with a bunch of people in the last couple of weeks. Some of them good meetings, some of them I think, you know, and I have a couple scheduled coming that I think, is this a good connection or not? Am I spending my time in the right place? Is this somebody that would either be a client or would refer clients?
Yeah.
So that's something I've been asking myself more, like the one of the events I like, this is kind of the I did a lot in January and this is where it's scheduled out to. And kind of at the end of the January, I went to an event and I was like, I don't want to schedule anything right now because I feel like I got a full plate, A, and B, right. I'm starting to realize, is this where the best use of my time is?
Yeah.
But I did have a connection with another coach who was involved with ICFDC, and we met up. We had put it off for several months, and we met up. It was a good connection, yeah. And he referred – he's actually working part-time now for Leadership Fairfax. And he said there's the possibility of having somebody come in and do some teaching for some of that. So he referred me to the woman who's also a coach, who's but she's now the head of Leadership Fairfax. And okay. As it turned out, I saw her that night and we had a nice conversation. She asked me to get in touch. And I reached out a couple of times, but I haven't heard back from her yet. So I'll have to continue being persistent.
Now, isn't that interesting that somebody refers to someone and then you see that person that night? Has anyone had that kind of sort of coincidental, synergistic kind of connection? Nothing? Sarah Jane?
No.
Got to be open to synergy. I don't know. It happens to me all the time. I'm thinking about somebody and they call me on the phone or, you know, whatever. All the connections happen. So you never know. But it's interesting. So good. You're out there doing stuff, connecting. Who knew? That person could.
Yeah, I didn't know he was working part-time there. The ICFDC conference is in October and he was a volunteer. He was really deeply involved in it. And he said, let me catch my breath after that. And so, you know, we finally got together. I reached out to him again. I had scheduled it to ping him again and he was amenable to it. It was just, he really was busy.
Yeah. So. Great. Okay, good. So are you there, Sharon? I can't see your picture and you're muted. So maybe there she is.
Sorry, hit wrong buttons.
Okay. Anything to share?
I've done a few contacts with people, but mostly I'm finding layers upon layers of stuff. And it's kind of the article that I'm working on with you is helping a bit. I'm setting up a demo day. Part of the challenge I have is, or one of the things I want to do is invite people to something specific. So we're going to be hosting a demo in March. So I've been inviting people to that. And I've got a few people who are coming and then I'm following up their response with a conversation. So setting up some conversations like that. And what you're talking about now is really helping me think about how to ask them who else to reach out to.
Great.
So.
Great.
So I'm kind of partway through a bunch of connections.
Yeah. You know, this thing of putting on a demo, a get-together, you know, there's so many different ways to do that. When I was the beginning of my business, I did a lot of that stuff. I led a networking group that I called Community Entrepreneurs, and we had two meetings every month. One was a brainstorming session. One was, we had a guest speaker. And you know, it was a great place to network, and I was the person coordinating it, and et cetera, et cetera. So all the way from something very organized like that to I had a group of other consultants in service businesses, and we had a little mastermind group. And I think there were about six of us, and we got together, I can't remember, once a month or twice a month, whatever. And we had a conference room in my office downtown, so we often met there. But sometimes we circulated and went to other people's businesses. And we just shared about what we were doing and shared ideas and connected. And, you know, anything like that gets you out of your head and into reality, you know. And, you know, how about connecting with that person? Oh, I didn't think of that. And pow, all of a sudden stuff happens. Now, this group obviously is like that in a way, too. But real life meetings often have more dynamic possibilities to them. But there's no one rule. You got to find the thing that works for you. It just might be Sarah just finds she gets great at connecting with people, at networking, following up, meetings, and that turns into talks, and, you know, it just starts happening. But if you feel moved to get together with some other people on a regular basis, have a kind of a mastermind group, that can also be useful. These things, you know, I now do one-on-one masterminding. I have one guy right now that I've known for years and years and years, and we got back in touch, and he's a great copywriter. He's a brilliant copywriter. So I'm helping him right now with his website, and he's helping me with the copywriting, and we're going to do a project related to my More Clients Club. So we're sort of giving free consulting back and forth to each other. There's endless possibilities. So my assignment to you is to continue to connect. My goal is 5 minimum good connections for the next 2 weeks. You can exceed that if you want. That's all right. If you don't make it, don't beat yourself up. I just want to share something that I did. Let me go on the screen here. I just sort of did it to prove that I could do it. Whenever I do screen sharing, I'm in fear of crashing. So give me a second. I want to find this other page. So this was connecting via Facebook and Wisdompreneurs. Wisdompreneurs, I recommend. It's all kinds of interesting businesses, small independent professionals like ourselves. And so here's Wisdompreneurs. It's a Facebook page. And so I said, well, you know, I suggested in my article, reach out to somebody on social media. So I simply connected with Jason Stein. And I've known Jason just through sharing stuff on Facebook and Wisdompreneurs. He's very active. So this is what I wrote. Hi, Jason. Can everyone see this okay?
Yes.
Congratulations on making the move to be 100% on your own. He was working with another colleague of mine as a coach. So very exciting. You know, you and I have never talked one-to-one. I'd love to set up a time to chat for a few minutes and get to know you better. What's the best time of the day for you? Mine is after 3 p.m. I'm on Pacific time. So it's really informal. And then he answers with this, thank you, not only once, but twice. People appreciate that you acknowledge them and you're willing to connect with them. So it's just the opposite of hard. It's easy. I have a time on February 11th. That's today. We're talking today at 3 p.m. and you can chat. And I said, boy, you're busy because it was like a month out. Okay, cool. Want to connect via Zoom? My address is. Let me know. That works fine, February 11th, 3 p.m., so we're meeting today. So that kind of thing, if you've got somebody in social media that maybe you've exchanged stuff with, up the level to a conversation. Because, you know, your back and forth emails and comments and stuff like that just get you known at a certain level. It's kind of the, I'm visible, they know me, but I have a conversation, then they have a whole different concept of me and what I do and who I help. And I'd like to see who he's helping. Maybe there's a connection. I don't know. But I like the guy just from his comments. He's just really, an open, creative, intelligent guy, the kind of people I'd like to connect with. So there's kind of endless little possibilities here. So if you say, well, I'm drying up in terms of my leads, look on social media, look at LinkedIn, people that you've had some exchange with, but really not a conversation. See where it goes. Okay? So you're all up for that next couple weeks to continue with that? I want to see nodding heads, yes. Okay, good. Udo, you didn't share. I'm sorry, let's have you last. Did you do anything?
No, I didn't do much. No, I didn't do anything last week. Because we had Carnival in Germany, and especially in Cologne. So I was not working.
You would have had a holiday? Yeah, that's always a good excuse. National holidays and Oktoberfest. And
yeah, that's kind of, yeah. It's 1 week. It's in Germany. It's Carnival. It's not Oktoberfest, but it's Carnival. Yeah. It's like Oktoberfest, yeah.
Right. You know, my wife is from Nepal, which is, you know, above India. That's where Mount Everest is. And if you're from India or Nepal, unlike the U.S. where you have 200-something years of tradition, they have 5,000 years of tradition. They have a holiday every single day of the week. Now, some are big and go for weeks, and some are small. Oh, this is the day when we acknowledge rats for not eating our grain. Or I mean, really. It's everything you can imagine. So Europe obviously has a bigger, longer tradition than us and have a lot of these things. Anyway, those can be great places to network. You meet a lot of people. You talk to them. You talk about your business. You get into a conversation.
No, you cannot talk to them anymore. No. That's kind of it's different. You are on the street, and people are drinking a lot, so talking is not easy anymore for most people. So no, it's not a networking. Yeah.
What can I say? Okay. So next 2 weeks, reach out, get some feedback from your letter is one way to do it.
Okay.
You know.
So that's fine. Today I had another meeting, but for my other business, I had today a meeting, which worked out. But it's not for the new business. It's still not going fast.
Okay. We'll count that.
Yeah.
We'll give you a break.
Okay.
So let's talk about the next thing we're going to do. Next 2 weeks, I want you to write an article. And let me just tell you a little bit about this really quickly, and then I'll show you the homework and everything for it. This is what I call a core issue article. This is an article you could give anybody that you connected with that would tell them about your business. You're at networking. Well, it's sort of a tool that you can use to immediately tell them about your business without sending them to your website. You can send them to your website, fine. So this, there's a lot of formats for the article, but my sort of favorite format is called the 10 mistakes article. Now, it doesn't always have to be 10 mistakes. 7 is also really popular. 7 mistakes. I've seen from 3 to 10 mistakes. Never more than 10. It's just too much. Now, this whole sort of idea of 10 mistakes articles, I'm sure it had been done before, but a guy named Jay Abraham, which is a top marketing consultant in the U.S., he was the marketing guru. He would get 400 people in a room for $5,000 for 2 days. This guy knew how to market. And he promised amazing things, and he taught people this stuff. And he sold a lot of stuff by email, and I bought God knows how many thousands of dollars worth of his stuff. That was a lot of my training in marketing. But he did all kinds of industries, not just service businesses. So one thing that he used to get attention for his services is he had this article that he circulated everywhere and anywhere. Now, this article I read either just when I started in business or even before I started in business, I knew about Jay Abraham. And it was called The 10 Biggest Mistakes, 10 Biggest Marketing Mistakes You're Making and How to Correct Them. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people read that letter. And I was talking to Oliver yesterday, and I said, you know, that article was so popular, I bet I can find it on the internet. I put in J. Abraham, 10 Marking Mistakes article, and it had a whole page. In the first one, I downloaded the article. So it's just out there. This is 30 years later. 30 years later, it had that kind of thing. Well, I launched my marketing plan workbook 1997 or so, and so it's been out there almost 20 years. It's been out there a long time, and you can find it on the internet. People have copied and posted it on their sites. They've stolen it. It's on my site. So an article like that you can use in many ways. It can be the giveaway when people opt in. Yes, I like that article. And also that subscribes them to your email newsletter. And you say, in addition, you'll get my email newsletter. We'll talk all about uses of it later. But I have information on it. It's under marketing currency, which also means marketing materials, which is part 5, I believe, of the Fast Track program. Let me just show that to you right now. That's the program. Can everyone see this?
Yep.
Module 5, marketing currency. Marketing currency buys attention, time, and engagement. And what I want you to study is part 1, 2, and 3, not all the rest of it. One is sort of a big overview about what marketing currency is. Part 2 is the syntax, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but the syntax is the order of talking about things, and part 3 is all about that article and how to write that article. So I call it a 10 mistakes article, but it doesn't always have to be 10. It can be less. And here's why it's effective, here's how it works, blah, blah, blah. And there are some samples in the sample section, but what I've done is I've put a few articles. Let me just move here. I've put a few articles under February. So you simply go to February. This is your marketing mastery page, which you recognize. And here's the course materials. The next part of the program is writing a core issue article. Article 1 is by Oliver Connolly. He already wrote an article that is really quite good, and it gives them the mistakes that sales managers are making. So it's a great example of that. Who's this? It's Nancy Clift. I didn't even know she wrote an article. So she wrote an article, sort of a shorter article, on the things you need to ask a focus group moderator. That's another form of an article, questions and answers about something. And that's really well written. So, Nancy, I read it this morning. I did a tiny bit of formatting to it, and I put it up. Then, ta-da, we also have the J. Abraham article. Now, there's a lot of marketing ideas in that that aren't appropriate for you because it talks about advertising and stuff, but there's some brilliant ideas. And as I was talking to Oliver, I said, I think I'm going to rewrite an article similar to a J. Abraham article on the 10 mistakes that independent professional marketers make. Mm-hmm. And now it's just spinning my head. I'm going to write it tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. When I read this over again, it took me back years. And these really powerful concepts that most people don't use in their marketing. So it gives you an idea of a format. You know, you're not trying to copy his format example exactly, but and the formatting of the page is nothing to speak of, but it's basically marketing mistake number 1. Here it is. And then he has, notice this format is one or two sentence paragraphs, several paragraphs, very easy to read. You don't want big 20-line paragraphs. Punchy stuff. Here's why it doesn't work. Here's what you should be doing. Here's what to think about, that kind of thing. So those are good resource. You'll find some more articles in the club under resources, and under resources, samples, and then articles. I'll put a link for that as well. Okay. So that's what I want you to do. So let's do a little bit of Q&A on this, but you know, it explains it pretty well and these examples will help you. So Nancy, you're going to have to figure out another article other than this one or something else to write. We're going to talk today, so we'll figure that out very soon.
Robert, are we going to have access to all of these materials after this program ends?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it up, quote, indefinitely. So I have the pages for the Mastery 1, 2, 3, 4. They're still on my site. Nobody goes there anymore, but they're still there.
No, but I mean all of our the fast track materials. Are we going to have access? Okay.
Yeah, you get a life. You've all have a lifetime membership now.
Okay.
So you can get in, use that. You can go back to the club materials. You can listen to the recordings if you need to.
So let's hope we all have a long life.
Yeah, me especially. I have to give instructions of what to do with my website when I pass away. It might be up there forever for everybody.
Whose lifetime?
Yeah, whose lifetime? Okay, so any questions about this article? Do you sort of get the gist of it? You know, it's a really important thing. It's like the HEOB letter, you point them to that later in the process. But I wanted you to write it first because it gives you the sense of everything you do in your program. And it's generally harder to write than this article, generally. So you just think of what are the mistakes your clients are making? What are the things they're missing? Some people, it's the things you need to do instead of mistakes. That might work. But people are interested in the mistakes they're making. And, you know, you got to take a page from Jay Abraham. This guy knew what he was doing. He's generated hundreds of millions of dollars in sales for companies and his clients and for himself. The guy is just, he's a fountain of creativity and guts. I mean, he took on a lot of companies just on commission and helped increase their company not by 20, 30, 40%, but by 5,000%. Seriously, he did that kind of thing through his marketing and did it through the kind of principles we're talking about here. So read his article. There's a lot of good stuff in it. Okay, any questions before we wrap up? No, wait. We got more time. I'm thinking that we got 15 more minutes. Oh my God. So let's talk a bit more about this. Sorry about that. I'm rushing through this thing about to end. So let's talk a little bit about the article or ideas that you might have, or what about this? What do you think if that would work? Because I have a lot to talk about on this.
I suppose the key.
Go ahead, Nancy, and I'll get you, Carolyn.
Sorry about that. I suppose the key is thinking about your clients.
Like yes.
The target client and what would grab them.
Yeah. So what problems do your clients have? You know, Jay Abraham realized, well, people are out there in business and they have problems and they're making mistakes in their marketing.
Yeah.
And I found it was true for independent professionals. There's so many things independent professionals are not doing. They're not doing right. Like that whole step of not putting your price on your proposal is something most people don't know. There's a lot of little tips. So you can have smaller tips, you can have really big tips. So let's just go through and you know, sort of prime the pump. So Leanne, what do you think you would talk about?
That's what I was writing down. I think probably for this one I would write 7 mistakes you're making as a coach and that are costing your client is the kind of that I was like, well, why would they care about that? Because it's called you're not delivering the best value to your client. So, I mean, I can think of 100 right off the top of my head because I see other coaches coach all the time. But the yes. question, which ones are the key? You know, even if I just lay out what I think of as some really basic things that don't happen.
Right.
And frankly, I don't care if people read it and start doing it. That would be a win for the profession. So,
well, exactly. And it's not, you know, on the article at the bottom, you have a little bio. You tell about your services. You have a link back to your website. That's part of it. So it's a promotional piece. So, yeah, you start brainstorming and write a whole bunch down and ultimately prioritize until you've got a good number. But if you say 15, I can't do less than 15. No, it's too much. Unless you say just a little, but you want to say more. J. Abraham has 12. It's a 12-page article, so he's about a page for each point. So I'm not saying it has to be that long. Sometimes they're shorter.
I mean, this is the kind of thing you see all the time on LinkedIn, and I'll be honest, it captures my attention as well. You know, 7 mistakes leaders make, or even on Twitter, or, you know, whatever. And those are, you know, because, and I think in this case, for me at least, shorter is better. You know, because it, even if it's like 2 pages or a page and a half, you just do the skim, bam, 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 leave them wanting more, and it's good.
Well, there are different schools of thought around that one topic, and probably everyone says, how long should it be? So it's sort of, how long should a string be? Right?
Long enough to do the job.
Yeah, so you think, I want to really show my stuff here. I want to show that I'm smart about this. You know, things that are just bullet points just don't penetrate.
No, I agree. Okay. No paragraphs, though. Here's the mistake. Here's what to do instead.
Yeah, but you know, to talk about, well, when you read the J. Abraham article, you get an idea of his style, and you say, yeah, maybe I can adapt that more or less to mine. But it's nothing fancy. The writing isn't fancy. It's just straight ahead. It's pow, pow, pow. And he uses some interesting kind of language. He uses fancy words sometimes that are whatever. When you hear J. Abraham speaking, he has a sentence, he'll say, when you think about, consider, or mull about, you want to make sure you dive in deep, go really wide, da da da. This is 5 synonyms for everything, so he really gets what he's talking about. He makes sure that he's understood. So he sometimes says that kind of stuff. Okay, so great, Leanne. Okay, Carol.
So there are so many myths and misconceptions about hypnosis. Instead of mistakes, could I do like the 7 most common myths about hypnosis? And because I go over that with every new client anyway, so this will save me some breath.
That sounds great.
Okay, good.
Sounds great.
Now it sounds easy, this assignment.
Yes, one myth. I'll be in such a state that you can control me and make me...
Exactly.
It's
mind control. That's one right there.
Yeah, I have misconceptions about hypnosis.
Well, you might enjoy the article.
I will. Yeah, it's really good. When people are thinking of something, remember, there's often a barrier. There's a fear. There's misconceptions. So something like that can clear up a lot for people and go, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who's next?
Well, this is Sarah Jane. I can very easily write an article on not mistakes per se that HR people have made, but attempts at intervening with the abrasive leader that are not effective.
Okay.
I know that's a long, what I just said was a long title, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah. So all the ways not to interact with an abrasive leader, something like that. And, you know, every article has an intro, an overview. And in this case, for J. Abraham's article, the intro was written by Howard Ruff, who was a financial newsletter guy and well-known back 30 years ago. I don't know if he's even alive now. But he wrote sort of an introduction because he was a client of J. Abraham's and ended up selling gazillions of his newsletters. But anyway, so you have an opening, and it's sort of like every company once in a while has an abrasive leader, and you recognize abrasive leaders by this kind of behavior. And, of course, the HR department wants to change that because it's causing havoc and blah, blah, blah. However, I found in working with abrasive leaders for X number of years, HR often does things that only make the situation worse. So here are some things to notice to not do with an abrasive leader. And of course, your last thing is not hire a professional. That's the final thing. Not hire a professional is a mistake. And what you should do is find someone that knows about abrasive leaders, worked with them, has great success with them, understands the difficulties. So that would be an interesting article. That would really be a good article for you.
I have this in my one of my seminars that I do.
That you talk about this. So it's just going to come like that for you. You've got all the material somewhere. Okay, good. Great. In your head somewhere, right. Okay, so this is good. Who else? Sarah Taylor.
Yeah, so my article is going to be about seven mistakes that managers make when trying to accommodate staff with a disability. So I'm not going to talk about autism specifically. I'm just going to talk about accommodation errors, because I think a lot of the times the accommodations that managers and HR people try to make aggravate the problem.
So it sounds like a very similar article as Sarah. Yeah, it's the mistake they make, but it's a different domain.
That's right.
You know, once you get that, those are articles that almost write themselves, because you know the mistakes. And it's just a matter of putting them in a good order.
Yep.
And making them organized and simple and powerful and obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can write an article like this pretty quickly, usually.
What has me a little bit bewildered at this point, not having yet written it, is I get nervous about just pointing out mistakes and not offering a solution.
Well, there can be the, you'll see again with the Jay Abraham article, he says, here's what you're doing wrong, here's what you should be doing. You know, depends. You know, you don't want it to be a how-to guide and not hire somebody, but it's like, you know, if you do this, here's what you can expect to have happen. So if you take him into your office and give him a thorough, what do you call it? You read him the riot act, so to speak. You start becoming abrasive to him, whatever. This is what's likely to happen. It's, you know, blah, 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 et cetera. No, you want to realize that this and this, and you want to blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know that exactly what you should do, but there should be a, you can tell people what to do, but not necessarily how to do it. Because if you tell them all about how to do it, then you're positioning yourself for them to do it. Of course, some people will never hire a professional if their life depended on it. So you can't affect everybody. But some people go, wow, this makes sense. I've seen these mistakes. We do need an expert. That's the whole idea.
I think it's almost hard to give away too much.
Yeah.
Most people are just not going to be able to do it themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe don't want to anyway, but you know, if for the very small percentage, those people are not your client anyway. So
yeah. Now, something you can do is also go to Google and look up articles with a similar thing and see what other people have written. Some people don't like to be influenced ahead of time, and maybe you just want to write your article, then look at what other people say, and you might realize, wow, this is even better, and maybe I'll change some things and put in some other ideas. But you don't want to just copy somebody else. You want to be very solid. So Carol, for instance, knows all these misconceptions. He's heard them all. But, you know, you might find another. I know you could go to Google and find misconceptions about hypnotherapy. But I'd start with yours, and then you might see, oh, I like their style a little better. I like what they did there. So maybe I could play around with it a bit. Now, don't go crazy with it. It looks to me that J. Abraham, I don't know, but that it was a fast first draft. It's just, that's how J. Abraham is. But it's good stuff. But it's not overly refined and tweaking every word. That's not my sense. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So who else? Nancy?
Totally different from what I wrote already. I was thinking about 7 listening mistakes in the back room at qualitative research. So people don't listen very well. They listen for what they want to hear. They have all kinds of different things. So it's something actually that my clients could use with their teens.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're thinking in these articles, you know, say someone's disconnected with us. Use a good audio logo. They're kind of interested. Then you go, I have my article. And you say, I wrote an article about my business or my ideas in my business that I think you really find useful. Can I send you a copy? This is not the way how to do it. And this is how a lot of people do it. Well, I wrote an article about this. You wouldn't want it, would you? Don't do that. Be confident about your article. Write something you feel good about. And you say, I've written something about this that I think you'd really find useful. Let me send you a copy. And then send it to them. And you might also say, you know, after you've sent it, you might have, here's the article and have a link to it. So the article is posted on your server. We'll talk about details of that later if you need it. And then you just put a link to it instead of an attachment. I like links better than attachments because you can put it right where you want in the article instead of searching for it at the bottom, right? So here's the link. Click and it opens or it downloads. And then you can say, by the way, after this, you're welcome to opt in and be on my regular email list. Now, they would also get the article again, but that doesn't really matter. But get them on your email list if you can. Every chance to build your email list. Now, I remember meeting this person at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, and her name was Elizabeth, and it was spelled with an S. I remember because she corrected me once, Elizabeth somebody. And I said, you know, I have this article and a regular e-zine. Would you like to get them? And she said, sure. And she was on my list for, I don't know, 15 years, and she came to many different programs and stuff because she was on my list. We'll talk more about lists later, but this is a list-building tool as well, and it's a great introductory tool. And it's sort of like people say, well, I've met this person, now what? This is the answer to that. Get them the article. And you can follow up. Maybe it'll turn into a conversation, maybe a selling conversation. You never know, but it's leverage. Okay, anyone else have one?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. We got Karen and Tills, and I'd like to have ideas, and then we got to move on.
Okay. Was that a yes?
Quick, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about an opt-in which gives somebody the choice of 1 of 3 articles to get?
Yeah, I've seen people doing that. I don't know. Technically, it's a little trickier, but it's doable. I've seen it done. Well, people will probably want all 3. So some, you know, I've given away a marketing startup kit where I gave away 4 articles. But I also felt that it was almost too much. You can overwhelm people with too much stuff to begin with. You want to give them your best stuff to start with, to really make them think. So, Sharon, what's some ideas you have?
So I was going to try one called Why Team Building Doesn't Work for Executive Teams.
Great. And then you just have X number of ways. This is why this doesn't work. This is why that doesn't work.
I have to figure out how many, but we'll come up with this many reasons.
This many reasons. Yeah, that would be good too. Yeah, so that it's like we want to do this. Well, here's why you shouldn't do that. And, you know, when you write something, it's more authoritative than when you say it verbally. I'm not sure exactly why that is. But when you're an author, it means you're an authority. Writing an article. You know, and people made J. Abraham the authority in marketing for years, so that the damn article is around 30 years later. Just this mind-boggling. He wrote it before the internet. I got a copy of it from somewhere else, before the internet was even around. So whether you'll write a classic article like that, I don't know, but, you know. Okay. Tills?
Well, I wrote what a technical article, I think, about optimizing your website for mobile phones, which mistakes to avoid, what to optimize to get it better working, something like this.
Avoid what to optimize?
Avoid the mistakes you can make.
Or avoid whatever the translation in Germany, but it might be avoid these optimization mistakes.
No, not avoid the optimizations. No. Don't make mistakes by not optimizing things on your website so that it don't work on mobile phones.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to arrange things differently. Yeah.
I'd be interested in that article.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. I would. Because it's like there's so many things you could optimize, and mm-hmm. one of the most important ones, and you're missing most of them. So here's what you should optimize and what you should.
Yeah. That's the idea. 5 points, something like this. Yeah.
So maybe I'm not the audience, but I'd be even more interested if I really understood what optimizing my website got me.
Yes. Well, by optimizing your website, you get, when people visit your website, more stuff happens.
Yeah. So,
a lot of ways. For instance, if you want people to
opt in. Yeah. Okay. No, go on.
If you want people to opt in on your website, don't hide the opt-in box.
Yeah.
Make it obvious. I've seen this. Yeah. Where's the opt-in box? Oh, it's on the 14th page in the lower right. You didn't see it? No. Should be on your homepage. Really obvious. Here it is. Here's what you get. That kind of thing. Okay, so these are all great ideas to start with. You might alter your thinking between now and then, but sounds great. Sounds like a good start. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. Thanks for being on the call today. I'm excited about it, about this next step. And I can't wait to see what you've got. I want to have an article from everybody before the next time.
Thank you.
Even if it's not perfect. Okay, guys, talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.